This is Rob Randall, and we're so deeply grateful that you have taken your time to tune in today. Thank you for the privilege of allowing us to come into your lives. I want to lead us in prayer that the Lord would come and take this teaching and accomplish His will in all of our lives. Lord, we thank you today for the sweet privilege that is ours to trust you with all that we are and all that we have. We thank you that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And Lord, we ask that you would take your word and that the Holy Spirit of God would be our teacher. And that through this truth, you would bring us into the freedom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us understand today what it is to walk in you. Thank you for your faithfulness. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And now let's get right to the message for today in the invisible war.
Now let's get to the armor. Put on the full armor of God. Gird your loins with truth. The Word of God is the Word of truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And the church is the pillar and foundation of truth. Gird your loins with truth. It's not surprising that our Lord begins with truth in explaining the armor that He has provided each believer in spiritual warfare. Remember, it is the devil who is the father of lies. And there is only one remedy for lies, and that's the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Listen to me. The Word of God is truth. It doesn't contain truth. It is truth. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. My. For there to be victory in spiritual warfare, one must come to believe that what God has said is truth. It is not coincidental, folks, that every major denomination has had to fight this battle. I want to tell you, with all of the political struggles and all the political issues that are in this battle, I want you to know, for one, I'm not confused as to what this is about. You lose the Word of God, you lose the truth of God, in spiritual warfare, you lose. Live and believe and face the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, let's move on. The breastplate of righteousness. There are two parts of righteousness. One's imputed and one's imparted. All right, the breastplate of righteousness is the next condition of victory. How righteous are you? You pretty good? No, in fact, all of your righteousness stinks. It's a stench in the nostril of Almighty God. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. There is none righteous. No, not one. The Lord saved us not because of our goodness or righteousness, but because He loved us. He saved us not on the basis of deeds, which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Titus 3:5. My. The two parts of righteousness, and both are a gift of the Lord. One is imputed righteousness. What's imputed righteousness? Well, when Abraham trusted God, believed God, he counted it righteousness. Okay? When you believe God, at 6 years old, when I believed God, when I trusted Jesus as my Savior, He bathed me. He clothed me in His righteousness. It's a gift, folks. Again, the armor is Jesus. This is what He does, alright? It's imputed. Imparted righteousness. What is that? What is imparted righteousness? Imparted righteousness is the work of the Holy Spirit in every believer's life, through submission and obedience and confession of sin. Our standing with the Lord is secure, but our fellowship with Him can be damaged through unconfessed sin. Positionally, the believer has been made right with God through his union with the Lord Jesus. All that the Christian needs to walk right before man and God has been made possible through the union he now has with Christ. In spiritual warfare, the believer's relationship with the Heavenly Father is never in question. The issue is our walk with the Lord in submission and obedience. Our fellowship with Him The Lord Jesus must be maintained through confession of sin. Remember, He is holy. All right? The breastplate of righteousness. It's not your righteousness. It's His work. Not only at Calvary that He has given you when you were saved, but the work that He began is now continuing in your life. It is also imparted righteousness as He reveals Himself in and through your life. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now the sandals are making preparation for the battle. Why? The feet must be shod with the preparation which is always ready to go, always ready to do, always ready to suffer. This means no slow movements or reluctant doing of God's will. Being off guard creates a general lack of readiness for life and death, for heaven and earth, for sacrifice, for service, for doing, for suffering. It cuts the nerve of the Christian valor and lays us open to surprises and crushing defeats. Wherever the Lord tells you to go, get ready. That is your preparation to take this gospel of peace. Now, let me say this. If you've never received the peace of God, you can't give it. You can't give what you haven't received. All right? You can't minister to others peace if you don't have peace in your own heart and life. Don't forget that. That's true in every area as we study this. You can't administer peace unless you have peace. Now, there are three aspects of this peace that is of God that must be noted. Peace with God, Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The free gift of salvation brings peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care what you've done. It is cleansed at Calvary. If you are saved, you have the peace of God. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Secondly, we have the peace of God. Colossians 3:15 and John 14:27. It is a peace that passes all understanding. Philippians 4:7 and 8. The peace of God. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Colossians 3:15. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, do not be fearful. John 14:27. We're needed, all of us needed to be saved. We all have stuff. All of us have stuff, all right? And then the peace with all men. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, be at peace with all men. My father used to quote that to me until I was sick of it. He'd quote that verse all the time. In my young ministry, boy, if somebody looked at me cross-eyed, I'd get in their face, you know. And boy, he'd quote this. So far as it depends upon you, be at peace with all men. And then we have, of course, be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in bond of peace, Ephesians 4:3. The peace with God, the peace of God, and the peace with all men. The shield of faith. What is true biblical faith? Now we come to the part of the armor provided to the Christian warrior by our Lord that is the protection of all the other armor. The shield of faith. Each piece of the armor is spiritually related to all the other parts of the armor. The shield of faith is the armor for the armor. As you see the shield, it covers all the rest of it. It covers the warrior and all the other pieces. All right. Now, what is faith? Is faith the unyielding desire to see or feel something from God? Is faith a trigger by which I can manipulate God to do my bidding? Is faith an exercise of mental weakness by which we ignore all matters of science and education? What is faith? What is faith? Now, three aspects of biblical faith. Number one, for there to be faith, there has to be revelation. God must speak. That is to say, faith is not subjective, it is objective. There has to be revelation. God must speak before faith can be birthed. Where do we find that? Well, we find that. So faith comes from hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Has God spoken to us? You bet He has. And it is true, and it is forever settled in heaven. This is God's perfect revelation to man. There has to be revelation. We find that Hebrews 11:7, by faith, Noah being warned by God about the things which are not yet seen. God told him. He never could have trusted God if God had not spoken to him. Secondly, there has to be a decision. There has to be a decision. You find that in Hebrews 11:11, by faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she, here it is, considered him faithful who had promised. Most folks deal with the revelation of God. They come to a decision. They realize they need to make a decision, but they never birth faith. And faith is not birth until there's action. Revelation, decision, and then finally action. What you believe is what you do. Everything else is just talk. I want to say that again. What you believe is what you do. What Rob Randall believes is what I do, not what I say. Okay? By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out. God told him to go. Told he, take all your family, take all of your possessions, drop them, all your lands, and where are we going, Lord? Just do it. Where? Just follow me. You see, there wasn't faith until not only the decision was made, okay, God is telling me the truth. I've got to act on it. I've got to go and do what God tells me to do. The flaming missiles of Satan are not fired aimlessly at the believer. The devil does not waste his arrows. At the end of each arrow is a tip set on fire from hell. The messenger from the pit is aimed at the weakest place of our lives. I want you to listen to me. The prayer that I want you to learn to pray is, Lord, make me weak where I am strong, and make me strong where I am weak. You see, we all have these besetting sins. You got them, I got them. Yours are not mine. The enemy has studied the Randalls for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. He knows exactly what it takes, as we have studied, to knock over Randalls. He knows what it takes. He knows our vulnerability. He doesn't just shoot the arrow up in the air. It is carefully aimed at the place of our vulnerability. Do not think you can somehow handle this on your own. And I like what one wonderful friend of mine, Dr. Jim Logan, the International Center for Biblical Counseling in Sioux City, Iowa, has said, whatever you have done, you are capable of doing again. And the enemy knows it. You have proved already that you're capable of that. And that's where he's going to attack. These are the areas in which you and I will be attacked by the enemy. The helmet of salvation. The battle is in the mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. Taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:4 through 5. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:2. Remember, the battle is in your mind. If you can't believe the truth, you can't live the truth. Romans 8:28 through 32. Once again, what has Jesus provided for us? He knew us. He chose us. He has a plan for you, for me. He called you. This is all in Romans 8:28 through 32. He justified you, and He glorified you. None of that is your work. This is Jesus. It's all a gift. The helmet of salvation is what the Lord has provided in Jesus for you. He knew you. He chose you. He has a plan for you. He called you. He justified you, and He glorified you. It is all a gift from God. Receive it. Put on your helmet of salvation and leave it on. Then we get to the sword of the Spirit. This is our offensive as well as defensive weapon. The sword is the last piece of the part of God's armor for the Christian in spiritual battle. Why is the sword the last piece mentioned? We cannot be ready to use our aggressive weapon against Satan's kingdom until all the other parts of the armor are on. You don't start with the word. You start with all the other parts, faith and truth, righteousness, your feet shod, obedience to the Lord, going where He tells you to go. You have to have all of this on before you ever take up the sword. The very life and breath of God abides in the Word of God. We've already said how important the Word of God is. The Hebrew writer says the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Okay? It penetrates even to the dividing of the soul, spirits, joints, and marrow. You remember the image that we had, the illustration of man? Okay? Only, listen to me, only the Word of God, only the Word of God, used by the Spirit of God, has the ability to discern what's in your heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The answer comes back. The Word of God can do it. That's the answer. No psychiatrist, no matter how schooled they are, no matter how many pastors think they can figure this out, listen, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only the Word of God is able to divide and to separate from your life and my life that which is holy from that which is unholy. That which is true, that which is false. Only the Word of God can do it, used in the hand of Almighty God. Now, the word here is called rhema. A rhema word, rhema means a personal word from God to you personally. Everything that the enemy has done to destroy your family, to destroy your children, to destroy your marriage, to destroy the church is based upon a lie and our willingness to believe that lie. God, in His Word, answers those lies if we will let Him, if we will seek Him, if we will ask Him to give us a personal word, then He will give us that personal word. There was a time when our daughter, when she was a little bitty girl, was told by one of her friends that she was fat. It was not true. It was one of the awkward times of her life, but she believed it. It doesn't have to be true. All you have to do is believe it. And Tina would not eat. She began to become anorexic. She would not eat. There were times when I would have to scold her, be very harsh with her to eat. I could see what was happening. She couldn't stop it. She had believed the lie of the enemy, and she couldn't stop it. And so I watched that. She was not as healthy as she was as before and so forth. We watched that take place. The enemy was at work. And I told her so. I said, the enemy's at work in your life. You have believed the lies of these demons. And she knew that. But let's get off of that. Many of you have seen that in your own family and lives. Let me just tell you how it worked out. Our precious daughter is a wonderful Christian lady. She's always been a very sensitive, wonderful Christian girl. And she knew that she was bound by this lie, but she couldn't stop it. So what she did, she took the scripture verse, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And she began to use stick notes and make that passage, and she'd stick it on the mirror. And she'd stick it on the bedpost. And she'd stick it on the closet. Okay? Wherever she'd go in the house, we would see these little stick notes. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And she said, Lord, I don't believe it, but I want to believe it. Please help me believe the truth. She would read that scripture and she said, Lord, help me believe that truth. The Lord finally cleaned all that up. She's a wonderful, godly mother now. And we thank the Lord for her. Listen, that's a rhema. For every lie of the enemy in your life, there is a truth of God that will blow apart the lie. It's called a rhema. You have to ask for it and you will find it in here. I don't like the concept of Bible roulette, but that's kind of the way it works. If you need a word from God over a matter, whatever it is, over a lie, over an attack, over whatever it is, and you need a word from God, say, Lord, I can't handle this. I've got to have a word from You. You've got to invade this moment. I can't handle this alone. I have to have a word from You. And you open the book, and it'll be there. Let me illustrate it, and we're through. When we were in the midst of the struggle of fighting, we'll begin with prayer next time. For my son, things were not well, and I had a full fall of meetings, and I knew that I could not leave, that his life was in peril. But all the counselors said, Rob, you can't stop. You can't give the enemy that. You got to go. I thought I was going to have to cancel my meetings. I needed to be at home, I felt. I didn't know what to do. And they all said, you cannot let the enemy win. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to stop you. By faith, you got to go on. So I got in my Suburban. Now, that particular time, I was going to be 6 weeks in western Wyoming. Now, there are places further from Dallas, Texas than western Wyoming, but not many. Okay? Not many. And so, here I began to drive down the highway, bawling my ass out. I said, "Lord, I'll never see my boy again." And I just wept. And I wanted to turn around so bad. And I drove down the highway. I got to Decatur. You know, that's a good place to turn around. And I had to go on up north. Anyway, by faith, I said, "Lord, I'll do it. But you're going to have to take care of me. You're going to have to take care of him." I got to the little place in Meteetse, Wyoming, where I'd been several times. Little bitty town. Wonderful, godly people. Cowboy town. And I went into that cold little motel. And I said, "Lord, I can't handle this. I can't even get a signal to call my wife up here, you know, on the cell phone, way out in the middle of nowhere." I said, "Lord, I've got to have a word from you. I can't handle this alone." And this is what he gave me. I opened the book, Psalm 45:16. This is so holy, it's hard to discuss. "In the place of your fathers will be your sons. You shall make them princes in all the earth. I will cause thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, the peoples will give thee thanks forever and ever." I said, "Thank you, Lord." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you that this is your battle that is won. And I thank you that you have given us every piece of the armor in the Lord Jesus, to withstand every scheme and fiery dart of the wicked one. Thank you for this time. Lord, I pray that if there's one who needs the freedom that is only in the Lord Jesus, you would give them the courage to come before you, to ask you to do what only you can do. You came to set the captives free. Lord, it is you who came to destroy the works of the enemy. Thank you for this time. Bless it. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Rob, and we'll look forward to hearing more next time as we continue in this series on The Invisible War. The Invisible War is more than just a weekly radio program. It is a lifetime commitment to helping you become a man or woman who experiences a life of freedom and fulfillment. This only happens as you completely turn your life over to God through Jesus Christ and trust in Him to completely work in your life. There has obviously been a lot of ground that was covered today, and you may not have been able to catch everything, or you just want to hear it again. Well, we have many different options for you so you can get these valuable resources. Go to theinvisiblewar.org, and from there you'll be able to find all the books on this topic. Hear today's broadcast again, a place to share your prayer request, and a ton more. So go to theinvisiblewar.org, and from there you'll find everything you need to help you on this journey. We also have a toll-free number where you can call us so we can talk to you, pray for you, and encourage you. The number is 1-877-808-8886. That's 1-877-808-8886. And now, here's Rob with some closing words for us today.
I want to thank personally those of you who have and are supporting The Invisible War. And for others who could help, may I encourage you to give as generous a gift as the Lord would allow you to give this day. Please help us. Stand with us, that we might be able to take this message to those who so desperately need it. If you can give a gift today, let us know. Visit our website, theinvisiblewar.org. There are many ways that you can give there. Our address is there on the website. Or you can call us. Let us know how we can help you. 1-877-808-8886. That's toll-free, 1-877-808-8886. Please pray for us. This message desperately needs intercessors. And thank you for your giving. Thank you for listening. We look forward to next week when we share once again the Word of God from His heart to your heart in The Invisible War.